You have what it takes to heal. This is the first episode of the Quest for Healing podcast series. My name is Phil Golding, and I am a self-awareness, meditation, mindfulness teacher, author, and podcaster. But most importantly, in regards to these Quest of Healing podcasts, I am a psychotherapist with 25 years of experience as a therapist. Before embarking on extensive studies in depth psychology and transpersonal psychology and a career as a therapist, I journeyed through the experiences of healing my own mind from chronic depression and PTSD, which I consider as my most important path to learning. I began that journey 40 years ago and was free of depression by the age of 30, but have continued an open-ended path of healing and growing as a central part of my ongoing life. In my psychotherapy practice, I specialize in treating trauma, PTSD, depression, stress, and anxiety, and many other related issues. In this episode, I am beginning here with an introduction to the Quest for Healing series. This introduction is designed to help you gain the most out of what I am covering in this series. The most important message I want to give you here is that you can heal your mind. You can overcome your suffering. You have that potential within you. But you also need to understand how the mind works and approach it in the right way. This is so very important to being able to achieve your goals of healing and growing. The next most important thing I want to tell you is to never give up. If it is not working for you, that means either you haven't persisted enough or there is more that you need to learn. At first, it is hard to stay with and have faith in your healing journey while you are trying to face your painful emotions and mental fog. But understand, there is always a way through, but you must keep stepping up and reaching out for help, like you are doing now, in order to find your way and gain the motivation to persist. We know how to heal the mind today. It is not a mystery, but it will certainly challenge the ways you have become used to thinking and therefore feeling and acting. The fact that we know how to heal the mind is why you should never give up. The mind is deep and at times complex, so it is essential to persist with the process so as to give yourself the chance to learn what you need to learn and also to ensure your mind adjusts to the new forms of thinking and feeling. If you persist with this process or other mind healing processes like this one, your life will continue to improve. But if you grasp at the solutions, be impatient and lose faith, the opportunity to have the life that you want may elude you. This is the main reason people don't find recovery and the life that they want. The next most important thing I want to tell you is to treat healing your mind like learning a new language, a trade, a craft, a profession. You will start out as an apprentice, unskilled and clumsy. But if you persist, you will master this craft of healing, caring for and empowering your mind, where any problem you encounter in life simply becomes an opportunity to learn and grow even more. Because you have become skilled in this craft of being the consciously aware guardian of your mind. So when life drops a problem on your lap that today may disrupt your world and drag you down, in the future, you will be able to say, "Yep, no worries, I've got this." You will therefore be in charge of your life. The problems that once defeated you, you will come to use them to know even more and grow even stronger. They will no longer be problems, but opportunities. So as the apprentice in this craft of mastering your mind, expect to persist with learning this craft for the next 3 to 5 years, or however long it takes, to where you feel, experience, and know that you know what you are doing, and your mind belongs to you, rather than being owned by your blindly conditioned mind. But that's so long you may hear your mind protest. You may just want to get away from the suffering, to escape from it, not realizing that this just reinforces in your mind that the problem is bigger than you, that you must stay afraid of it. In reality, you learn to awaken your potential by facing your problems with an open heart, which is where your power really is. How is that possible, you may ask? Well, that is what these podcasts are about, to show you how it is possible, how you can do it, and you can. Of course, your life will be improving all that time while you are learning your craft, but you have to understand, this is the human mind that you are dealing with here. You need to get real about what it takes to get in the driver's seat and stay there, to become the master of this trade. Mastering your life is your ultimate career that supports, enhances, and empowers every aspect of your entire life. This is the greatest investment in time and resources that you will ever make. You have the potential to do this, but you have to awaken that potential and literally become your potential. If you are suffering, like I was with chronic depression, suicidal depression at times, know that your mind has been conditioned to be in direct conflict with the real potential you were born with. That is why you are suffering. Our painful emotions are there to tell us that our wheels are out of alignment and in need of some serious adjustment. The final thing that I want to tell you before getting into the body of this introduction is that the essential foundational principles of healing and mastering the mind are universal. If you are healing your mind, gaining balance, self-awareness and empowerment, gaining harmony with yourself, and becoming a source of harmony for those around you, then you will be integrating the same set of principles in your life that anyone who is achieving the same things are doing, no matter what time in history that they live in, no matter what the culture, religion, or philosophical path, no matter the language or the symbology that they relate to. What works, works. It is a physics of nature that applies to everyone. In this case, it's the physics of our power of consciousness. Therefore, have no patience for so-called teachers and therapists who tell you that their process is the only process that works, who gives their process some fancy name and makes out that they are the only ones with the answers. The answers have been known since the beginning of recorded history. We have been studying this path using all the various texts and practices throughout recorded history, and once we understood the language and the symbology and applied these teachings into our own lives, it has been revealed that they were all saying and experiencing basically the same things. So don't look for the differences. Look for the similarities. Just because people use different concepts and symbols, that does not mean that they are talking about different things. My version or interpretation of this universal wisdom is contained in my 5-step process for healing, wisdom, and empowerment, which I talk about in all my podcasts, including this one, as well as in my books. If other pathways use the same principles, I will guarantee that they will work, if you put them to work in the right way. Therefore, in order to gain the most from this in-depth exploration of the process of healing your mind, it would be helpful to first listen to at least episodes 1, 4 and 6 of my 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series in order to gain a good feel for the 5-step process for healing your mind and gaining wisdom and empowerment. This Quest for Healing series will focus on step 3 of the 5-step process, which is let go and tune in, which is the step that focuses on healing your mind. This first episode of the Quest for Healing series will be an introduction that will help you understand the nature of your mind and how to work with it. It will also be a reminder of what I have taught in my other podcasts about how to understand your potential for awareness and healing and how to put that potential into practice. So let's get started with this first Quest for Healing episode. To understand how to approach the healing process, it is essential to have an understanding of the different levels of your human nature and how they interact with one another. You need to know how to access your potential to heal yourself and how to work that healing process into your mind. You need to know what you are working with in order to master your craft. When we are observing ourselves and learning to be in the driver's seat of our minds, it is important to have a framework of how the different levels or dimensions of ourselves stack up in terms of order of power to better understand how we are able to heal and transform our minds. Firstly, we have our body with its basic functions and its primal survival instincts, such as fight or flight, and our basic senses such as touch, smell, taste, hearing, and sight. The body is wired for survival, being instinctually aware of its mortality, so it is naturally vulnerable and prone to fear. The body basically exists within the mind and reacts in its own way to our ongoing mind states. If the mind reacts, the body is bound to react with it, due to the chemicals that these mind states trigger the body to release into its system. If the mind is in a prolonged state of stress, the body will come to suffer the effects of this stress. The mind can even override the body's survival instincts. Self-destructive addictions are a prime example. Our mind, our human consciousness, is therefore the next dimension. Our mind is not something that is just between our ears. Our mind is a holistic field of energy with its ability to think, feel, and initiate action and take in higher levels of information than the body's basic senses. The mind also contains all our memories and associated conditioning, and therefore our entire journey on this planet from the moment we were born. You may say that that is the function of the brain. In terms of basic storage, yes, but the mind, as you grow and evolve, is largely responsible for how all that information is organized and activated into thinking, feeling, and action. The mind also contains our imagination, which, in terms of the ways we suffer, becomes closely linked to and activated by our memories, fears, insecurities, resulting in further mental confusion. I'm talking here about how our minds project our conditioning, our biases, fears and insecurities onto the world around us, further distorting our perceptions of actual reality and, most importantly, our sense of worth. Next is our ego, which is our potential of higher level consciousness that represents the third dimension, from where we are attempting to manage our lives. The ego's potential of higher level consciousness is not fully realized because it is still submerged or trapped within and serving the limited body-mind consciousness. The effectiveness of our ego is directly dependent on the effectiveness or constructiveness of our mental conditioning. So the ego is really just a puppet for the mind. The power of our human mind is boosted by the added power of the ego's higher level consciousness, for good or bad, depending on the quality of our conditioning. Ego is awakened into its real potential when we commit to learning how to take full responsibility for all that we think, therefore feel, say, and do, with total self-acceptance, which is steps 1 and 2 of the 5-step process. These are the universal foundational principles that I spoke about earlier. The ego then starts to awaken to being what is called conscious awareness, which constitutes a fourth dimension of consciousness. Conscious awareness has the capacity to transcend or rise above, in other words, observe and act on our mind's blind conditioning with a higher perspective of acceptance and compassion for ourselves. This is the level or dimension of our being where we are able to genuinely heal and reprogram our minds. Conscious awareness is our potential to genuinely take command of our minds and is where we have the ability to heal the mind. Just to make clear, step 1 is unconditional acceptance, especially self-acceptance, and step 2 is total personal responsibility, in particular taking full ownership of your mind. In other words, all that you think, therefore feel, say, and do. It is important to understand that personal responsibility is the key that unlocks your own potential. While we are holding others responsible for our emotional pain, the power over our lives will always be in the hands of others. It is not what happens to us, but how we react to it, the meaning our mind places on the event, which determines whether we suffer or not. This determines whether we manage the moment skillfully in a way that takes care of our well-being, or react in ways that are self-defeating. However, we often have a mental block here because we have been conditioned to feel and perceive personal responsibility as a path to imposing unrealistic expectations on ourselves and judging ourselves. The idea of personal responsibility also confronts our conditioning that convinces us that we are powerless to affect change in our lives. The first step of acceptance enables us to understand that there are no standards to impose on ourselves. We learn to accept that we are human, always in the process of learning and growing, that there is no failure, just experiences that we can gain new insights from. Our past is there to learn from, not to beat ourselves up with, or regard ourselves as a powerless victim. Personal responsibility becomes our path to wisdom, and ultimate freedom to create the life that we want. And our practice of acceptance takes out the judgment and replaces it with self-compassion, self-forgiveness, and self-understanding. Some may say that taking responsibility for your mind in the spirit of self-acceptance may not seem like much of a revelation. This may not seem like it would have the power to transform your life. However, it becomes like the red pill they gave to Neo in the movie The Matrix that awakens him out of the Matrix and into his full potential. Now that you are an adult, your mind is your mind, nobody else's, regardless of the abuses and neglect of your upbringing. Understand that everyone on this planet is in the same boat. But like everyone else in this world, you have the right to be human, and you have the right to be loved simply because you exist, and because your mind is your mind, you are your mind's most important source of love, and here is the key to your power. This is why unconditional self-acceptance is the first step in the process. It is the key that opens the door to your potential. This is the door to your heart. Unconditional self-acceptance teaches you how to become the loving and wise parent that your vulnerable human self has always needed. It enables you to look squarely at yourself, not with judgment and shame, but with compassion and understanding. Being born into this world, we can't help but be human. But we also bring a greater power with us that is the core of our potential. And that is our power to love. And we can give this love to ourselves because that is the most responsible thing we can do for ourselves. Note how I said the power to love and not the power of love. Love is a potential only. That potential is not realized until you actively become its representative. This form of responsible self-love takes from no one and benefits everyone, especially ourselves. This power will heal all the self-defeating confusion that has become stuck in your mind. Therefore, unconditional self-acceptance and full personal responsibility activates your ability to compassionately observe yourself from where you can increasingly identify how your mind is causing itself to suffer. You do this by learning to observe the emotions your thoughts cause you to feel from the perspective of unconditional self-acceptance. The survival mind normally tries to push away and avoid these painful emotions, but in doing so, renders itself powerless to heal them. We push painful emotions away because we have learned to judge ourselves when we feel such emotions, hate those we think cause them, and therefore project our emotions onto them, and often feel powerless in the midst of that experience. In other words, we tend to fall into a state of fight or flight and therefore avoid our emotions, suppress them, or go into attack mode, which also includes attacking ourselves. When we avoid our emotions and fall into judging, we don't become aware of the thoughts that cause the emotions. Instead, our ego mind thinks the outside world is causing the painful emotions. By learning to be the aware observer of your own mind, you come to learn that it is not the circumstances and conditions of your life that causes your suffering, but how your mind reacts to those circumstances and conditions with its thinking. Your suffering or otherwise depends on what you think that event means in regards to your own worth and identity. When you observe your painful emotions to the point where you can access your self-destructive thinking to its depths, it all ends up amounting to thinking you are not worthy of love in some way. We suffer when we think we are unloved in some way, when we think we are unworthy of love, such as thinking we have failed, that we think we have not lived up to some expectation, let someone down, not measured up. Through abuse from others, we can become afraid of love because opening to love makes us vulnerable to more potential abuse. We therefore become isolated. We can also react by trying to dominate others to compensate for our disconnection from love, but that is still suffering, even when we think we are in control. Suffering is about feeling disconnected from love, from life. Ultimately, we suffer because we don't know how to protect our minds with our conscious awareness. We don't even know we have the power of conscious awareness, let alone know how to activate that power. On the other hand, when you awaken your ego by doing your best to live the first two steps of the five-step process, unconditional acceptance and total personal responsibility, you are able to access the potential of your conscious awareness and get on with the process of gaining mastery over your mind, and therefore embarking on the process of healing it. As I have pointed out, that does not mean that it is going to be a quick fix. The mind is deep and complex, and there is a lot to learn about how to be conscious awareness. But every step forward makes a positive difference, and there are ways to make the process more efficient, which I have talked about in my previous podcasts. By working with this process, every day you have the opportunity to reactivate your potential of conscious awareness to where it starts to become your new conditioning. You can then increasingly become your own essential source of love. Here is the key to overcoming suffering. Through the power of unconditional self-acceptance, you can become your own sanctuary, mentor, loving and wise parent. And to develop yourself to where that is your normal state of being. True awareness is only present when your heart is open. In the process, you will discover that love is not something that only comes from outside you, but is something that is innate within you. The more you open your heart to yourself, the more you are able to feel a sense of oneness with yourself and also with life as a universal consciousness that you are an integral part of and is an integral part of you. This is because in the process of loving yourself as conscious awareness, you are realizing your ability and power to literally be love, love as a literal universal force of life. This is the holy grail of awareness. This is a vitally important realization and experience that you will have if you persist. This is also the key to attracting and maintaining sustainable loving relationships. We are each giving to the relationship from our own sustainable internal source of love, rather than taking from the relationship until it is empty. When we awaken our conscious awareness with this fundamental acceptance and responsibility, we discover the ultimate power that heals the mind. Even though we are experiencing ourselves as a vulnerable human being in a world of confusion, we discover that we are also this unlimited power of acceptance, universal love, oneness, which is now the source of our real power, rather than being so dependent on and at the mercy of the limited body-mind-human-self ego and the limited and confused human world in general. Conscious awareness gives us the power to act on and manage our minds from this higher dimension. Therefore, our body-mind-ego becomes embraced within conscious awareness, which is within universal love, consciousness, oneness. Universal love is the ultimate power that heals the mind, which is a fifth dimension and beyond. We tend to just call this our higher self or higher power. All these dimensions of yourself make up the potential of who you are now in every moment as you live your life and evolve in this world. To evolve is to become more aware that you are conscious awareness, learning to be the guardian, sanctuary, and home of your human self. In this healing process, we are learning to shift our identity from being the limited human body, mind, ego, human self in other words, to being conscious awareness, the loving guardian of our human self. Your conditioned mind is a limited construct, only continuing on in its present form, while your power of consciousness continues to reinforce it, therefore being limited to mere ego. Once your potential of awareness sufficiently gains enough perspective on your blind, limited conditioning, through your growing experience of taking full responsibility to accept yourself unconditionally, you are able to increasingly hold your mind in a state of love and clarity that you didn't have access to throughout your growing years, hence your suffering. By observing your painful emotions and vulnerabilities from this perspective, you are able to become aware of your self-rejecting thinking and how this thinking causes your painful emotions, regardless of the circumstances or conditions you find yourself in. For example, you are only vulnerable to the degree that you have doubts or confusions about your own self-worth. For example, your confusion may leave you vulnerable to being manipulated due to your misplaced guilt, causing you to think that you are responsible for someone else's abusive behavior. With your growing ability to observe your thoughts and emotions, you are able to gain awareness of why you were so vulnerable to challenging events in your life that resulted in trauma, depression, anxiety, etc. In other words, you come to see how you did not have the necessary awareness needed to protect your mind and process these challenging experiences. As conscious awareness, you are learning how to become the representative of universal unconditional love to your own human self. You will therefore have increasing access to an unlimited power to heal and take command of your mind as you continue to develop your awareness. It is like we have been in the possession of an amazingly powerful piece of equipment for our entire lives without really knowing what it can do. We have never been able to get it running right and were oblivious as to how powerful this piece of equipment actually is. But then we discover it has an instruction manual and its own toolkit. Therefore, to better access the power of healing that is always yours to use, locate the body within the mind and the mind-body-ego within yourself as conscious awareness, and yourself as conscious awareness within life, universal consciousness, which has no limits. Universal consciousness, love, oneness is your ultimate potential, your ultimate power. Everything that is trying to be achieved in psychology is actually just facilitating in one way or another this unlimited universal power. Conscious awareness, your open heart in other words, becomes the bridge, the doorway, the sanctuary that gives the power of universal consciousness access to your body-mind-ego. This is where the healing, the alchemy, happens. So if you haven't already done so, listen to my previous podcasts to prepare yourself for your quest for healing. There is also my book, 5 Steps to Freedom. Be aware though, I don't mean just listening to a podcast once or reading something once. You don't pass the test of life by doing that. This is essential knowledge that you need to build into your awareness in order to activate the power of your awareness. This is the human mind that you are dealing with, the most powerful thing in this world, apart from your conscious awareness, once it is activated sufficiently to be able to transcend the mind and then increasingly embrace the mind. This journey must be taken seriously if you are going to succeed. You must approach this process with a never give up persistence. If you do, success is inevitable. Your mind has no choice but to take on the new positive conditioning that is you as conscious awareness are representing to it every day. Awakening your awareness and healing your mind is not a mystery anymore, but it does mean that you will be learning to look at yourself and the world in so many ways the opposite to what your limited ego mind has been conditioned to do. It takes time and a never give up persistence to break down the fog of the ego mind. Also, know that life is on your side. Know that every problem is an opportunity to learn from and grow through if you approach it in the right way, and therefore you can make every problem work for you. This is the power to evolve that acceptance and personal responsibility activates within your consciousness. In the following episodes of The Quest for Healing, I will be focusing on trauma, PTSD, depression, stress, anxiety, and more. So that concludes this episode. Please do yourself a favor and listen to and absorb at least episodes 1, 4, and 6 of my 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series, and subscribe to my podcast channel to get easy access to all my podcasts. Be your own forever loving and compassionate parent, and love will always warm your heart.